This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Wayne Bell inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Is it true that you now have your list of your 10 favorite movies of 2012?
I do, and it's really fitting that it would come out about a month after everybody else's, but, you know, we're slow to get them here in Fayetteville.
Well, not everyone is a critic for the New York Times and gets to see them early either.
Yeah, and they haven't really accepted my bids to become one in Fayetteville. So,
well, I'm anxious to hear what your 10 are.
Okay.
Now, is there anything you haven't seen?
I have not seen Life of Pi,
which I just recently saw.
And you had problems with, but like the end?
Yeah. But I thought the end, I had not read the book.
Okay.
And my wife had, and she was wondering how this big resolution that takes place that kind of alters the movie was going to be done. She didn't think they could do it the same way in the movie that they did in the book, and they didn't. But for me, it made everything that came before that so much better.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful movie.
Okay.
All right.
Well, given that I haven't seen that, I will say that my top three or four were easy, and everything else is a little muddled.
Okay.
Where they fell, and then towards the very end, you know, it was like finding stuff to put there, because unlike a lot of people, I wasn't a huge fan of like Les Mis or even, you know, something like that I liked over the summer, like The Dark Knight.
Right.
You know, it kind of faded after a while. So my number 10, which a lot of people won't even take seriously, would be The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
And that's one that you, if I recall, went to somewhat reluctantly.
And that's just it. I mean, anytime a movie surprises me and you can make a successful money-making film about 75-year-olds and it's handled well, I mean, that's an accomplishment. So my number 9 is The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I have not seen that, and I really want to see that.
Emma Watson still can't act, but everybody else is so good in it, and the screenplay is really charming and well done. And again, it's something that surprised me. Number 8, Beasts of the Southern Wild. That's my other half's favorite movie of the year.
And that is currently available on pay-per-view, on demand.
Up for Best Picture. And it's the story of a father and daughter who are living about 45 miles south on a private island of New Orleans. And they've kind of got their own community with their own rules and their own language. And it's about, you know, a relationship between father and child.
You know, every year there seems to be a movie that the people who've seen, when they try to explain it to people who haven't seen it, it's hard to explain. Tree of Life, the Terrence Malick a couple of years ago, was that way.
Yeah.
This movie kind of seems that way for some people.
It is, but it's very, very approachable. And I'm the first to say the Tree of Life was not. Number 7 is West of Memphis.
The documentary?
The documentary about the three men who were accused and convicted and spent 18 years in jail after the West Memphis murders that happened in the early 90s.
Right. Jesse Miskelly, Damien Eccles, and Jason Baldwin, I believe.
Right. And it's a really great movie, really entertaining, but presents the effort it took to get these men freed and come to some sort of resolution, which isn't really great, but it's better than...
Yes,
they still get to be free, but they had to, as
they
part of it...
They did plead guilty.
And they had to plead guilty under a portion of the law that said that they knew they were innocent, but right. It's worth watching.
And that, I believe, now is available...
Yeah, I believe that is available on, like, Netflix.
Right.
Number 6 is probably your number 1, which is Lincoln.
Yes.
I love Lincoln, and I thought it was really well done, and made a movie that could have been textbooky seem really entertaining, and for Steven Spielberg, it was really restrained, which, you know, that's not his first thing he's known for, and great performances by, you know, Sally Field and Tommy Lee Jones and James Spader, and then of course Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, who's going to win another Oscar.
Well, and just down the line, people with 4 or 5 lines were familiar faces.
Yeah, Gloria Rubin and Walter Goggins, and yeah,
there's the guy from Girls.
And, oh yeah, that's right, Adam Driver. So it's a great movie, and the fact that I have a Steven Spielberg movie on there is, you know,
says
a testament.
Lot.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not the hugest fan.
We're up to the big 5 now.
Yep. Number 5, Django Unchained.
Okay.
Did you see it?
I have to admit, I am wincing at the thought of as much violence as is on the screen. I know that it's, quote, cartoonish violence in the second half, but it's just keeping me away.
Yeah, and maybe that is going to happen for some. It is up for Best Picture, but, you know, it's it is handled in such a cartoony way that it's laughable, but and it has problems. Most of these movies, other than my like top two or three, have serious problems. This one has them in the third act, but the first two are so great, and Christoph Waltz is so good
again.
That it's worth watching.
Another trepidation I have about seeing this film is the last Quentin Tarantino movie that was out, Inglourious Basterds, was sort of a revenge alternative history fantasy.
The last. I mean, all Quentin Tarantino movies in some way.
Well, true. But, I mean, it was one where you know, it was a World War II based, and so alternate history, what if Hitler had been killed in this theater? And so this, I don't know, is this new enough territory that it's different?
It seems newer to me, but, you know, it also is a little bit more maybe approachable than that one. But, of course, like, internationally, I'm not sure if it would be.
Right.
But it's fun, and it has my favorite scene of the year, which involves Klan members trying to see out of their masks. So
played for comic effect?
For comic effect, very. Number four was Silver Linings Playbook, a film we both liked, but we both also said third act problems.
Yeah. Boy, you put it much higher than I would put it.
Oh, well, you know, I was thinking about that too, and it was just like, God, the four performances are so good that it kind of elevates the rest of the material, sort of like Doubt a few years ago that I loved, but it was like the material wasn't handled the best, but the performances were so good.
The first two-thirds of the movie are so good.
Right.
And so I don't know how...
Yeah. And it's got that scene with the Johnny Cash music in the back.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which is great.
That's my favorite. Could be my favorite scene of the year.
Number two and number three are very close to me, and so I'll say they're pretty tied. I mean, maybe because they keep getting lumped together, but they're completely different movies. That's Zero Dark Thirty and Argo. Mm-hmm. Argo has problems. We talked about that before. But the script and everything is just so snappy and sharp, and it keeps you on your feet. And I mean, and the performances down the line are really great. And, you know, Bryan Cranston and, I mean,
John
Arkin, John Goodman. I mean, just really great performances. And, you know, and another great film by, you know, Ben Affleck out of, you know, nowhere. And Zero Dark Thirty is Catherine Bigelow, her take on the hunt for Osama bin Laden. And it's been getting a lot of heat because, you know, some people say it's pro-torture or she's not taking enough of a stance. But, you know, her position is, I'm just telling a story. It's up to you to come up with whether you think those methods were more, you know, appropriate or not. And it's amazing. My number one movie of the year is a surprise because nobody saw it. And it got one sad little Oscar nomination, though very deserving. And that's The Sessions.
Is that Nicole?
No. That's The Paperboy. Very different movie.
Okay.
The Sessions stars Helen Hunt.
That's right.
And John Hawks. And I can't remember a movie that's made me sob like that, but in such a well-done way. It's the story of a 38-year-old man who has polio, and he, of course, for the most time lives in his chamber, and he seeks help from his priest, who's played by William H. Macy. And because he wants to have a sexual experience, he's never been able to do that. And so Helen Hunt portrays a sex therapist, and she does it from a very clinical perspective, and defines what the difference between a sex therapist and a prostitute is. Mm-hmm. And through that, you know, exploration and very unconventional storytelling, it's just a great, great performance. The fact that John Hawks isn't nominated for an Oscar is bizarre, probably because nobody's seen it. And Helen Hunt is amazing. And, you know, any movie that can remind us of an actor, even like Lincoln did with Sally Field, that you kind of forget about, So, you know, all in all, a pretty good year. Like I said, my top three or four were really great, and then it kind of got a little muddled after there, but they're all good movies.
All right. I'm going to see The Sessions very soon upon your recommendation.
Get on it.
I will. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
John Kerry's move to the State Department leaves a Senate seat to be filled temporarily right now. Then, in a special election come June, Saxby Chambliss and Tom Harkin will leave two more for November 2014. Ray LaHood's departure opens another cabinet job at the Department of Transportation. And Sarah Palin exits Fox News. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation at 1 o'clock this afternoon, immediately following Ozarks at Large, here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Hazel Valley.
Where's that again?
Hazel Valley's in Washington County, and it was a community, still is a community, but it had a post office, within the last 20 to 25 years, maybe even sooner than that. Don House would be able to fill us in on all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Hazel Valley expert.
Oh.
Beautiful part of the world.
So he probably has lots of pictures from there?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have some business with tickets.
Yes. Yesterday I asked a question that would get correct answers into the Ceramic Cow for a chance to win two tickets to the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra we heard about earlier in the show.
Uh-huh.
It's Saturday night at 7:30 at Arend Arts Center. I said yesterday was the anniversary date of the first time a poem had been published with the original author's name.
Yes.
And I said all you had to do was think about the Super Bowl teams,
right,
and you could come up with it. And the teams in the Super Bowl again Sunday are?
The Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers.
So if you think of Baltimore Ravens.
All I could think of was
The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. And that's what I was going for.
Okay, good.
I'm sure there was there's a poem somewhere out there about the 49s, whatever. But I was looking for The Raven. Taylor Hearn was one of those who correctly answered. Taylor Hearn.
Congratulations.
You have two tickets to the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra concert Saturday night. They'll be at Will Call. I'll send you an email to let you know.
All right. And a few more things. Just want to update some people on some stories that we've done. Last year in, I guess, September? Maybe October. I got to hang out on set with Gordon Family Tree. It's a movie that was filmed here locally. It was good fun. They let me spend the day with them, and that was very lovely of them. But I found out yesterday that they're planning to have the red carpet premiere at the Malkiel Razorback Theater in Fayetteville on May 22nd at 7. There'll be a private after party for all premier ticket holders at the UARC Bowl on Dixon, and they'll have more ticket information and details and all that good stuff will be coming soon.
I believe that's a Wednesday, the 22nd.
I have no idea. I have not looked that far.
Well, I think that's the case.
Okay.
I noticed that in deciding who gets to update people on stories, you got the fun one. You got the thumbs up. Monday, you had a story about schools closing because of illness. And that very day.
Right.
Actually, almost as that story was first airing.
I think
airing,
as it was airing, I got the news that another school district was sick and they were going to have to shut down.
Lincoln Consolidated School District dismissed early. And because of widespread illness. And so school is resuming on Thursday. Is that what they're doing?
I think so. The 31st, okay. I believe.
Yes, that's tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Actually. So hopefully that's the last school district in our area that has to deal with
last
that.
Last I checked, they still weren't sure what it was, but they were thinking maybe it was norovirus again, just with how quickly the kids were getting sick and stuff. So we'll find out soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Wash your hands.
Yes,
often.
Wash your hands.
Yes.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition, and happy Wednesday.